Those of you that were with us last Sunday, we received ministry from our friend Joseph Mwangi, or Mudha Mwangi, and his wife Leah, who shared a dream. And the message that he delivered to us, he gave it a title while he was just about to close, when he was closing. And I know that some of you were left wondering, what is that now to us? What does it mean? Because he said, what? My people are doing what? Yeah? My people are drinking or taking what? Dirty? Hamtaki kusema hiyo, kwa sababu mnashangaa, kweli sisi tunaweza kuwa tunakunywa maji ambayo sio mzuri. Now the message is from the scriptures, because he read it from the scriptures, so he didn't cook up. And he said, as he was praying, the Lord spoke to him about that. So it is true, because God does not lie. And we want us to see that from the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. If you can quickly, Kibale, today we are preaching with you, so you better be quick. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed what? Two evils or two sins. They have forsaken me. That's the first one. Okay? They have done what? Forsaken me. That's the Lord. And he's saying, me who is the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves. Cisterns are like wells or containers. They have hewed cisterns for themselves, and these cisterns are broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's the accusation that is being leveled against us as a church and as the children of Israel, if we are leading from there. But now this message is for us. Those are hearing me, those that are not here, and those that are at home, because this was a message that the servant of God delivered to us. But we need to, first of all, understand, why would God be saying, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Who are these people that God is talking about? Remember, he said what? My people. He hasn't said for the people. Because if say for the people, then it is general, it is everybody. But he is now very specific. He says, my people. Amen? So he's talking about his people. He's talking about the chosen ones. He is talking about those that has already come to him, and he classifies them as his people. And they are the ones he's saying, they have committed two evils. One, forsaking him, the Lord, who is the fountain of living water. And instead, they have moved away from the fountain of the living water. They have gone to dig for themselves wells, or they have created cisterns or containers that are broken, that cannot hold water. Are you getting the point here? See how serious it is. These are God's people that he has called by his name. As Chronicles, the book of Chronicles would write it. For my people who are called by, if my people who are called by my name. God's people are called by his name. Is that true? The reason why you are God's child, it is because you have been called by his name. Why? Because through his son Jesus Christ, you have become his child. Hallelujah. So you bear his name. You are called by his name. But then he says, you've committed two evils. How have we forsaken the Lord, the fountain of life, and we have gone to create for ourselves cisterns that cannot hold any water? We probably are wondering, how have I forsaken the Lord? What is the problem here? He is the fountain of living waters. Joseph referred to John 17. No, not 17. John chapter 7 from verse 37. And he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. And this is what he said. If anyone thirsts, let him do what? Let him come to me and do what? Drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jeremiah says what? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Now Jesus here is saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Was Jesus holding some water in a container when he cried out? No. He wasn't. But he's simply saying, come to me and drink. Meaning what? He is actually going back. If we go back to Jeremiah, he is actually telling you, I am the fountain of living water. Or I'm the fountain of water that carries life. So if you are thirsty, if you are in need, amen, of life, living, if you want to live a life that is complete, where you are not thirsty. And that, what does that mean? If you are not thirsty, it means you are fully satisfied, isn't it? You are not panting for, you have it already. You have drunk enough for yourself. Amen? That's what he's saying. If you are thirsty. But of course, if you are thirsty, do you need water? Yeah? No, if your body is not thirsty, it doesn't require water. And there are some people who never take water because they are not thirsty. Until the doctors tell them water is important, drink it even when you do not feel like you need it. But of course, you'll never find anyone who is thirsty for water who will not go looking for water. And that's why Jesus is saying, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone needs something, needs me, let him come. Jesus is not just calling people out there. He is calling us that are already called by his name. There's a difference. I know they are also thirsty, yes, and they need him. But this message, they do not understand it. But you and I need to understand that you are the one Jeremiah was talking about, my people. So Jesus is calling his people who are called by his name to come to him. Are you thirsty for him? Because if you are thirsty, you will go to him and drink. Because the alternative, you don't go to him, you will go looking for water elsewhere. And this is the danger. And this is the message that was delivered to us. That my people are drinking dirty water. My people are going out there to seek for help outside me. If you want to imply to understand it even better. But Jesus is saying, now come. Let's continue. Whoever does what? Brethren, let's learn this. We are learning this together. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will do what? Will flow rivers of living water. Other fashion says out of his belly. I would prefer the belly, because the belly can hold more water than the heart. Yeah? He says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So, brethren, when Jesus is calling us to come to him, those of us who are thirsty, those of us who feel we need more of him, that there is something that he has that I don't have, he's simply telling you, when you come, this is what happens when you drink from my well. Out of your heart, out of the inner part of you, that is longing, that is thirsty, what will happen? I will fill you so much so that now what will be flowing out of you is rivers of living water. So what do you become, brethren? When you drink from Jesus, you become what? You've gone to him as a source of living water. You are now out of him, you have drunk, and you have become a river. You have become a source also of living water. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Because he says, out of you, out of your berries, you will flow. There will be a flow of rivers that will provide living waters to others, which means you also become a source. Amen. And your neighbors will come looking for what you carry, for what you have, because you are not like them. You can be able to start like Jesus and say, if anyone is thus, let him come. For out of me, there are rivers of living water that I can provide. Bwana asifiwe. I'm not the one who wrote that scripture. Some of you are looking at me like, what is this pastor you're saying? That scripture says, out of his heart, that one who comes to him, out of his heart, out of his belly will flow rivers. It doesn't even say river. It says rivers. So there will be many of living water. And we need to ask ourselves, what is flowing out of us this morning? What is coming out of you? Are you a resource? Can you be relied on? Can people who are thirsty be able to come to me and drink? Can I satisfy a society that is rotten? Because out of me, there are rivers of living water. Can I change a corrupt nation to become a godly nation? Can I change my neighborhood that does not know the Lord? Because of out of me, there are rivers of living water. Because a river cannot be cannot be hidden. Can it be? If a river gushes out of this place, we shall all know this is a river. This is not just isi maji ya kanjo imetoka hapa. Ni kweli? Tutajua. Because a river is not just a small thing. It's not a stream. When it gushes out, it sweeps, it flows. And that's what it's saying. Out of his heart will flow. A river is not stagnant, brethren. A river flows. Our lives are not supposed to be stagnant. We are supposed to be flowing. That is why we are being accused that we are not drinking from him. Because if we are drinking from him, then out of us, there will be rivers of flowing water that can affect the society. We want to impact the people that are around this place. The only way we can do it is that if they come to us, they'll find that we have drunk from the Lord waters, his water, living water, and we have also become wells that provides that water. That's a challenge that you and I need to receive. Because this walk with the Lord is not just a religious walk. It's supposed to be a life that is impactive. And you cannot impact others if you yourself are not impacted. True or false? Brethren, true or false? There's no way I can be able to impact other people if myself have not been impacted. So there is need for me to drink enough from him so that out of me there is a flow. And that flow is impacting others as it has already impacted me. That is the type of Christianity that is required out of us. That is the kind of Christianity that is required in this country. Christianity that impacts society. Christianity that transforms life. Christianity that can be seen, that can be felt. That is the effect of people who are drinking from him who is the fountain of life. In the absence of that, the Lord would say, we have committed two sins. One, forsaken him, the fountain of life. Yet, we are his people. Please note, his people who have forsaken him. I want to show you something. Just go back to Jeremiah. I hope I'll be able to find that part of the scripture, but I think it's there. Just go back to Jeremiah. Before you get to chapter 13, I mean to verse 13, what does it say? Let's go up a bit. Let's go up. I think 10. Yeah, that's where. Let's go back to just 11. 11, yes. Go to 11. Has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? It's a question that God is asking. Have you ever had a nation that changes its God? Now, he's not talking about his people now. He's talking about the nations that were idolaters. They had their gods that they worshipped. He is telling them, you have never had a nation that has actually changed its God. No, they don't. Even if they know, you are the one who can call their gods idols. But as far as they are concerned, those are their gods. And they will not change them. But what does he say? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Brethren, do you see where God is coming from? When he says that my people have committed two evils. His people who are called by his name, they have actually exchanged their glory for that which does not profit. In other words, they have forsaken their God, who is their cover, who is their glory, for that which does not profit. We have abandoned the spiritual and we have embraced the physical things. That's why if you remember, we started by saying, when you embrace him as God of plenty, you get to a level where you are not seeking his things. You are actually seeking him because his glory covers you and you do not need anyone else or anything else except him. Brethren, that is the challenge. That's the kind of Christianity that we need to have. And that, as I keep repeating, is what will transform the nation of the Republic of Kenya. It doesn't matter how many times we gather in State House or in the stadium and we call solemn assemblies and we pray and we call upon him and we go to the valleys or to the mountains. Until we realize that he is a source, he is a fountain of life. And we need to embrace him so that out of us we are flowing as rivers. I can assure you, if that happens, we will not need to call solemn assemblies for prayers. Are you agreeing with me? Because when you flow with rivers, that river has plenty. There will be no need, the physical need that we need to gather. If we gather as a nation, we'll be gathering to worship him and to thank him for what he has done for us as a country. We'll not be gathering to ask for rains, because the rains will be flowing, because there's no way I can be flowing out from my heart. There is living water that are coming out, and I'm not able to even impact the environment. Hallelujah. So the problem that we are having today is that we have a church or Christians who have forsaken the fountain of life. They are not drinking from that. And that's why they accuse. Because if you are not drinking from the source, you must be drinking from another source. Because you need to sustain yourself with something, isn't it? So the accusation is right. So if people are not drinking from the Lord, they must be drinking from another source. And that's why the Lord is saying, then they are drinking dirty water. Kweli? So if you're not drinking from the Lord, from what source are you then drinking? Quickly, let's go back to John 7, 37. Okay, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let's continue. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. 39. Now this, let's get here now. Please, attention. Just be attentive. Because now, John is explaining what did Jesus mean. That's why it says, now this he said about. He was talking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See what it's talking about? And who is the Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God, isn't it? Jesus said, and we went through this, you people have forgotten. I told you that Jesus said it is important, it is necessary for him to go, so that when he goes, the helper, who is also an advocate, would come. And he said, when I go, then he will come, and we shall also come and make an abode in you. So when the Spirit of God comes in us, he comes in us, and Jesus also comes in. The Father comes in with the fountain of life, and then they have made an abode in us. What happens then? Out of us, it is expected, there are rivers of flowing water. That's what he's saying. That's why he's saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. And I'm doing this very deliberate to challenge us. You know, notice that he is calling. These are God's people that God is calling. Jesus is calling and saying, come, there is something special. There is something better that you need. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And each one of us should be thirsting for the Holy Spirit. Not miracles. Miracles are for a season. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, lives with you, lives in you, and he is the living water. And as you allow him to operate in your life, then you become rivers. And those rivers are flowing out. That is the pure water that we need to be drinking. So when there is an accusation that we are not drinking from him, we are busy taking other waters. Those waters are not from the Holy Spirit. Where are they from? Bonus, if you will. Now let's look at it this way. If you are not drinking from the Lord, from which other source would you be drinking? from the flesh, isn't it? From your own thoughts, from your own might, from your own imaginations. You start seeking help from other corners. Because you are not drinking from Jesus, and you must drink something. Because you cannot live without sustaining your body with water. You look for other help from somewhere else. And that's why some of us will depend on our intellect to navigate through our spiritual walk with the Lord. That's why some of us will depend on some leaders, some prophets who will speak into our lives on our behalf, because we cannot be able to drink for ourselves. We need someone else to drink and then come and give it to us. Don't know whether they form it or what happens. But these are the dangers. Am I saying that we should not receive the prophet? No. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, isn't it? So who is superior? The gift or the giver? The giver. So if you have the Spirit of God, Bwana Yesu asifiwe, you are superior. You do not need, if the Lord calls you as a prophet, well and good. You deliver the message of a prophet. But if you are not called as a prophet, you can still receive from the Lord as long as the Spirit of God dwells in you. Are we together, brethren? So I do not need to be your prophet to be prophesying over your life. And then you become so dependent on me that you stop drinking from the well. You are now drinking from me. Those are the cisterns that the Lord is talking about. We heal for ourselves. Is that not what we read, Jeremiah 2:13? What have they done? Two sins they have committed. One, forsaken him, the fountain of living water. The second one, they have gone ahead and created for themselves cisterns that they drink, want to drink from. But those cisterns, he's saying, they cannot hold water. So if you have any other source that you are depending on and not the Lord, then you could be drinking dirty water. Bwana asifiwe. Am I saying we don't listen to others? No, no, no. Please get me right. So you are listening to me today. So I'm not saying we don't listen. But we do not become dependent on others. You don't become dependent on me. Because I'm here today, tomorrow I'll not be here. You can be transferred to a desert area and there'll be no preacher. If you are totally dependent on hearing from a preacher, then you'll die in the wilderness, isn't it? Brethren, the challenge is learn to drink from him who is a well. And if you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Lord is the baptizer. And he does not discriminate. You only need to desire and to ask him to do it. Amen? We can pray for you and you receive the Holy Spirit. Or you can even pray for yourself and receive the Holy Spirit. Many people have received the Holy Spirit in their bathroom as they were praying. Because they have so much desire that they keep saying, Lord, I want. But the problem we have today is that many have become comfortable. We are spiritual, Pentecostal, but we don't speak in other tongues, but we feel we are okay. Yet tongues is a gift that helps you to edify yourself. You see something you are lacking? You say, Pastor, but I've prayed for this and this thing is not coming. Keep praying until he comes. Amen? Or come to us. Let us lay hands on you. But don't be comfortable. Because when you are comfortable, then the tendency is you will start seeking for help outside the Holy Spirit. Brethren, are you getting this message? I know it's a hard one, but it's a good one. Amina? Because it's helping us. There are things we have forsaken. There are churches today which are Pentecostal. Even the preacher himself is not spirit-filled. There are bishops who have churches, but they are not spirit-filled. I pray Mama Moi can agree with me. Call them briefcase bishops. What has happened? We have stopped desiring what is important. That is godliness. And the Bible says what? Godliness and contentment is what? Great gain. Godliness can only be found by someone who is drinking from the fountain of life. Amen. There is no other way we can be able to practice godliness. Try doing it on your own. You'll fail day one. Haven't you ever tried to say, today, sita abia mutu kitu kibaya, sita fanya chochote? Sometimes we used to do that. When we are quite young in salvation, or even before, trying to be good. But I can be a good person. I'm not going to hurt anyone. But before an hour is over, you've called people all sorts of names. And then you ask, oh, what happened to me? The reason is, you cannot do it yourself. You need help. And the help is the fountain of life. It's the Holy Spirit who restrains us from doing evil. Remove him from your life, you'll go out drinking. Remove him from your life, you'll go out doing all sorts of things, even when you don't want. So let's seek for him. Let's desire those things. And they are for us. And don't feel condemned if you don't speak in other tongues. We will help you. Just keep desiring. Keep praying. Keep telling the Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Now I understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is the living water that you need. Hallelujah. And without him, you are operating in the flesh. The alternative is the operating in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The works of now the works of the flesh. Okay? Can you see? There is a spirit and there is the flesh. The flesh is what, these are the systems that are broken, that cannot hold water. The spirit is the fountain of life. This fountain of life does not only hold water, but it the fountain of life, you also, once you drink, you are also made that fountain of life, that out of you there is flows of rivers. But these are the works of the flesh. Can you see what it means then? To be found drinking dirty water. These are the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident. What are they? No, let's be honest. Let's read through. These are the scriptures, isn't it? It is what? Sexual immorality. That's the work of the flesh. It is what? Impurity. Sensuality. Idolatry. That's witchcraft and sorcery. Just hold it there. I've just remembered. One other source where people go out to drink dirty waters because they need help. And human beings is dependent on divine help. It's witchcraft. And this is practiced. You know, people think it's only the African who practice witchcraft. Every human being practice witchcraft, and you'll be shocked that the whites practice witchcraft more than even the Africans. Human beings are dependent on supernatural. They want to hear from divine. They want to hear from sources that are not human. We have a belief that that which is higher than us, that which is divine, is godly, is from God, even when it is evil. We have a belief that that which is spiritual has more power than that which is physical, which is again true. But it depends which one, from which source are you drawing from. If you draw from God, it is true. The source is powerful, the source has strength. But if you draw from the enemy, that is witchcraft and sorcery. And that's what it says. That's the work of the flesh. That is the alternative. Anybody who is seeking witchcraft, anybody who is seeking sorcery, is drinking from the long cisterns. It doesn't matter. And don't be surprised. We might be thinking that we are seated here and there is no one here who has consulted witchcraft. It may be a lie. It may be a lie. Well, I would like to believe that no one here has consulted a witch. No one here has sought help from any divination. But the truth is, human beings are known to seek help from powers they believe are superior, including our politicians. Anybody who wants power, anybody who wants more money, anybody who wants more women, more sex, more whatever, the devil is busy telling them, come. But you need to know those are systems that are broken, that cannot hold living water. What you get from there is what will destroy you. And we need to worry about that. So he says, okay, let's continue. Strive. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions. Continue. Envy, look at the works of the flesh. Has any one of you ever been envious of someone else? We are guilty, isn't it? Yeah? This is dirty water. So don't accuse my good friend that he preached a message that was not necessary for us. No. This is dirty water. Water, look at that drunkenness. I believe someone here has ever been drunk. And there's a possibility that there are people who are in church and they still drink. If you are doing it, stop. Because that is the work of the flesh. And it is what? A broken cistern that cannot hold water. And then you'll have committed the two evils. And then he says what? Orgies and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before. He had done it before. That those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Brethren, we want to inherit the kingdom of God. We must be concerned. We must be worried about the works of the flesh. And you need to take that portion of the scriptures, take it against your life. Be honest. Just go and look at those requirements. These are the works of the flesh. Take a piece of paper, write them down, tick and say, okay, here I am not, there I am not, there I may be. And where you find you have a problem, please note you need help. And ask Jesus to help you. If you need more help from us, kindly you can come to us. We will not expose you. We are mature enough. And we love you. We don't hate sinners. It is sin that we hate. Okay? So those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Brethren, we have to be very careful. The Holy Spirit has been given to help us so that we will not be thirsty anymore. Because you cannot have him and then have any other desire, he will restrain you from that. But when there is less of him, when he is not involved in our lives, when we keep neglecting him, then we are opening doors for the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh will not help us. We want to progress. There is no way we can, and let me put it this way. It is okay for us to preach to you about, you know, what is it called? Hospital, what? It's disappearing from me. Come on, the devil is a liar. Prosperity. It's okay. And it is in the scriptures. And you know we encourage you. And we speak about planting. We speak about Isaac. We speak about multiplication. We speak about all these things that are in the scripture. That is God's will for you to prosper and be in good health. You cannot accuse me of not preaching that message. I have preached it several times. But let me tell you, even if we continue preaching that message again and again and again, until we get it right, until we realize we need to be connected to the source, and the source is the fountain of life, we can speak about prosperity 1,000 times. We can give you ideas. We can even call people to come and lecture us about investments. Brethren, there is no way a child of God, called of God, will prosper outside God. You will need to do the right things first. And as we do them, then the Lord has promised. He is not a debtor. He honors those who are faithful to him, and he will bless them. So, brethren, from which fountain are we drinking? Have we forsaken the Lord, the fountain of life? Have we built for ourselves? Are we depending on sources that are filthy and dirty? Are we like the Galatians? Galatians chapter 3. Let's now close with that. Are we like the Galatians? Let's see what they did. What does the Bible say? They call them what? Oh, what? Foolish Galatians. It's a sad thing. Galatians, these were brethren. This was a church of Jesus Christ. These were people that Paul had witnessed to. Yeah? And it was a church like this one, or even better than this one. But it reached a point where the writer, the Paul himself, is calling them all foolish Galatians. Who has done what? Who has bewitched you? Could it be the message for the church today in Kenya and in the world? All foolish Kenyans. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is a message that we all know very well. But how many people today are worshiping other Jesuses? Are preferring Muhammad? Are preferring Buddha? Are preferring Kiamakiama, that the Kikuyus now? They've gone back to the mountains. They are saying that Jesus is a son of Maria. They have their what is, they don't even have their Jesus. Whom they do they have? I don't even know what they are replacing him with who. But you can see what is happening. People that have known the truth, people that have walked in the truth, they have now abandoned the truth. And that is why the Bible is saying, oh, foolish. Who? Galatians. Don't think it's their Galatians. Oh, foolish Kenyans. I pray that it will not be said, oh, foolish DCN. I pray that it will never get to that level, that we are being accused of having known the truth, but now not walking in that truth. Where's we finish? Yeah? Let's go on. Let me ask you only this. Read for yourself. Can we read? Open? Can we publicly? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Spirit by good deeds or by faith? Did you come to the Lord out of your good works? Why are you going back to think that you need to do A, B, C, D so that you can become a better Christian? Let me say something here. You think that we are talking about sinners. We are talking about believers who have abandoned the truth and they have gone to seek help. And that's what we are calling dirty waters. From sources that are not godly. You are now depending on someone else. You are depending on something. And let me put it this way. Actually, thank God I was about to forget to share to say that. And this morning the Lord reminded me. One of our major problems that is taking away from us away from the Lord and from the Word of God is actually the knowledge that we have today. AI, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, Google. Yeah, if you don't have it, you can Google it. If you don't know it, ask the AI, artificial intelligence, even how to cook an egg, they will tell you. You don't need to think again. What is this doing? This is the work of the flesh. The Internet of Things, the AI, and I'm not saying intelligence is wrong, but if it is used to replace godliness, if it is used to replace reading the Word of God, that you no longer read the Word of God, you ask Google to read for you. Yes? Some of you no longer pray. You ask Google to pray for you. Is it Google? What is that little girl called? George, you need this idea. This one, we ask questions and then she answers. Yeah? Silly. Silly girl. No, I'm joking. But she is silly, isn't it? Now, look at it. You want even to pray, you ask Silly, Silly, how can I pray? And then she tells you, what is that? I've never prayed. Come on. Or she tells you, go to the mosque or to the priest. Now, I know this is extreme, but I'm just trying to communicate something. This is how dangerous it can become when we become dependent on other things apart from the Lord himself. And they look like they are okay. Every knowledge that has been released is released for a purpose. And I'm not saying that we don't need artificial intelligence. We need. It's helping us in other things, in many things. But it cannot replace your dependence on God and the Holy Spirit. So as a child of God, you need to have a clear demarcation. When to use Google and when to use the Holy Spirit of God. When to use Siri and when to use the scriptures to seek for help. Brethren, the purpose of all this knowledge, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, Google, Facebook, TikToks, whatever, they are meant to distract you from focusing from the Word of God. And that what will happen is that the more you rely on them, the more your human intellect or intelligence is reduced. Did you get that? The intention is actually to take away human intelligence so that you no longer use your intelligence, you no longer use what God has given you. You rely on someone else who eventually want to control you and tell you what to do. That is how you find some children committing suicide, because they've been following something that has been telling them what to do, and they become so used, do this today, tomorrow they are told, now it is time to kill yourself, to commit suicide. And because they've been very focused and obedient in doing what they are being told, they become victims. You think the devil is asleep. He is not. He will use what you have. He will use what you like most to destroy you. My message today, let us not seek help from any other source as far as godly matters is concerned. And godly matters include our own physical needs, because God knows the needs that we have. Amen? And he can help us. I've not said don't use Google. No. Don't go saying, Pastor Mesema to Siangali and Google. I'm not saying that we don't use artificial intelligence when it comes and we need to use it. No. I'm not saying don't use internet. No, no, no. But be what? Be wise. Amen. Know the intention of your enemy. He will never come and tell you, now I have come to destroy you. Never. He is not a fool. He knows that you will run away. He will entice you in all these things. If you are not careful, you will miss out. The message today is, let us go back to the one who is the fountain of life and learn to drink from him. Let us not create things for ourselves, because whatever we create to replace God will not help us. It will lead us into becoming sobis, foolish like the Galatians, before you realize you are no longer an intelligent person because you stopped using the gifting that God has given you and you've been relying on others. Be afraid of the scriptures. That's the word of God. God speaks to us through his word. Read the Bible and read it for yourself. Get a plan. And by saying that, we want to go back. In the month of May, we'll start our Bible studies. Bible week. In the month of May, we're going to set a 1 week, and we will need to be studying the word of God. But still, that is not enough for you. Are you getting my point? Don't wait. You know, you say now that we have the Bible study, me, I'm relying on the... No. It's not enough. You have the whole bread for yourself. Why do you want someone to give you slices? Why don't take the whole bread and slice for yourself? That's the scripture which you've been given. Church, let us learn to rely on the Bible, the word of God. Let's stand on our feet. Just take a minute or so. Evaluate your relationship with the Lord, the fountain of life. Have you been drinking from other sources? Have you healed for yourself cisterns that hold no water? You need to discard them. Do you have someone that you're relying on apart from the Lord and the Holy Spirit? You need also to do away with such. You need to learn to depend on God. Father in heaven, we are grateful today for the word that has come to us. You spoke to us last week. You spoke to us today. You do it because you've already called us your people. And that's this where we start. That we are already chosen. We are already called. We are already your people, God of heaven. But you are accusing us of abandoning you, the fountain of life. And instead, we have hewed for ourselves cisterns that cannot hold water. We ask that you forgive us our sins. We ask that you come through to us. And if you need to repent, just continue to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Pray that prayer for yourself. The area that you need help, God will forgive you and he will help you. Only don't go back. Jesus, there may be some of us that have abandoned you and we are depending on other sources. We are depending on internet. We are depending on Google. There are those that have visited and continue visiting sites that are wicked and evil. God of mercy, we are asking that you may help them. Those that desire to come out, that you deliver them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you heal each one of us. Lord, we pray that you put that hunger and thirst that can only be filled by you and not anyone else. We desire to do that which is right. Holy Spirit of God, you are our helper, our advocate, our teacher. Speak to each one of us. Fall us even in our bedrooms, in our private places. Continue to speak to us. And when you speak to us, may we respond. You are our helper. You are our teacher. Lord, I pray for those who desire to be spirit-filled. As they open up their mouth to ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and in them. Jesus, I pray that they may receive even the gift of tongues. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.